I wanted to use this morning, just for a little bit, is found in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's verses 13 through 16. It's a very familiar section of Scripture. I'm sure most of us have heard it many times, but I'm going to just read it, and we'll talk about it a little bit before we head out of here. Chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 13 through 16. Jesus is speaking and he says, "You are the salt of the earth." He's not talking to an individual though, he's actually talking to a group here. So it's sort of like you all, or all you all, he's saying here, are the salt of the earth. All of us together here. "But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." What's kind of cool about today is we're not going to just talk about the Scriptures. We're going to get an opportunity to actually put them in action and be salt and light today. So we're going to talk a little bit about it, and then we're going to go out and actually try and do it. Again, these are really famous metaphors. We've heard of many times, salt and light. I think two of the most probably obvious things about salt is that one, it's a preservative that keeps things from decaying, especially back in Jesus' day when they didn't have refrigeration systems. They would use salt to preserve things. And so from a spiritual standpoint, we're to be salt to be a preserving element against moral and spiritual decay. And also salt is a seasoning, and it can make something or bring out the best in something. You know, sometimes certain things are good, but you put just a little seasoning on it, and man, it brings it to the next level. It brings the best out of it. And so that's another element of salt that I think that Jesus is kind of implying here with this metaphor. And then he also says that we're supposed to be lights. And certainly in this world, there can be a lot of dark, a lot of darkness. And Jesus says that he wants to light us, that we need to get lit by him, that we could be a light to the world. But the thing is that he says about this is it's not just a private conviction. It's not just something that, you know, that's what you believe and so that's good for you and you kind of like carry that with you privately. But he makes it very clear that this is supposed to be something that we are unashamed about demonstrating. He says your city set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. You're supposed to be like a city up on a hill. It's not conspicuous at all. It's very conspicuous, rather, that it's very obvious that you're supposed to be out there. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, you know, but on the lampstand so it gives light to all who are in the house. So then he goes on right after that in verse 16 and tells us how we're supposed to do that. How are we supposed to be out there and showing people what we believe? Well, interestingly, in this particular section, in verse 16, Jesus doesn't say, you know, jam the gospel down their throat and make sure you tell them if they don't accept Jesus, they're going to hell. Here's what he says. He says, "You let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." In a certain way, Jesus is saying that we, because he's talking to us, all you all, remember, he's talking to us as a group, and he's saying, you should really be the stability in your neighborhood. You should kind of be the glue that keeps your community together. Because a Christian, when they come to a situation, or when they come into a business, or a job, or a community, we shouldn't be like the world is often when they get into a situation like, you know what can I get out of this? You know, we get into a job and it's like, well, what can I get out of this job for me? We come to a community. What can I get out of this particular situation to enhance my life? But the Christian comes into this situation and says, you know what? I want to be like salt. I want to see how I can bring the best out of this situation. I want to see how I can make this particular job atmosphere the best atmosphere that anybody's ever worked in. And you know what? He set us in this community. How can we be an enhancing agent like salt that makes this the best possible community that it could possibly be? And that's how we should be. How can we do that? How can we enhance this community? And sometimes maybe you just change a little tiny piece of it. You know, sometimes you get a job somewhere and maybe only your cubicle is affected by your salt. Maybe you're able to affect one other cubicle in that job, and it's not a lot, but it's your influence that God, you know, we were just praying that this morning. He says it's the Father that draws people. It's not our deal. You know, we've said that before. Jesus just totally depended on the Father. He didn't worry about trying to convince everybody and trying to make it, you know, to a place where everybody's going to begging people to accept him. He basically just told them the truth, and then he said, okay, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. That was it. Just left it in God's hands. He didn't put all this unnecessary pressure on himself. And so I think that's how we have to be. How did you guys, who handed out cards this week? Let me just see who was on the card. Wow, okay. I know quite a few of you didn't because I ended up having to do about five different sections, but that's all right. You know, that was good for me. And it's interesting, isn't it? I remember Joel said to me, he goes, you know, it's not as easy as you think because nobody has mailboxes in this community, right? So you get up there and you want to try and figure out a way to leave the card and nothing works, and then they got the door locked too, you know. And so sometimes it's kind of like God would put me in a position where there was nowhere to put it, and I was like, all right, I guess I'll bother them, you know, and I'll ring the doorbell and see if anybody's home to answer the door. And I came up to one, and I heard some other great stories, but since I get to speak, I'm going to tell you one of my good stories, okay? We're going down Garden City Avenue. We came to this one particular house, and again, I was trying to figure out how to fit the card, and couldn't leave it anywhere, and the secondary door was open, so it's kind of awkward to open the screen door. It's like you're entering their house, you know? So I didn't want to do that, and I was like, well, I saw the lady in there. I was like, all right, I'll bother. So I rang the doorbell, and she came to the door, and she was visibly upset. So I'm like, oh, great, you know, this lady's having a moment, and I'm like bothering her right in the middle of everything. And, you know, she was just, you could see she was tearful. And I was trying to do some of these with Tina and Tara, and the two grandkids were actually with me at the time. So I'm up on the porch stoop, and they're down there. And I started talking to the lady and just asked her if she was familiar with the community church. You know, it used to be a Coast Guard station, and she knew all that stuff and invited her to come, and she said, I really appreciate that. She goes, I'm sorry. She goes, I'm not that presentable right now. She goes, I just got a phone call, and I can't remember exactly what it was. Somebody in her family had just passed away, prematurely too. Like they're only in their 50s or something. She was just really upset. She goes, but that's not your business. And I said, well, actually, I'm a pastor. That is my business. And she goes, you're right. It is your business, isn't it? You know, and she started talking to me about it more. And then I introduced her to Tina because, you know, most of you know Tina had a sister that died at 55 of cancer. And so Tina talked a little bit about that, and she totally related to that. And then I introduced her and she said, these are my grandkids. And then she goes, wait a minute. She goes, I think I know your son-in-law. He took my grandkids' portrait. You know, because Michael does photography. So she comes out, brings a picture out of the house, shows us the grandkids and the picture that Michael took. And just this whole thing happened. And at the end, we prayed for her. And it was awesome. And she goes, you know what? God sent you here today. That's what she said. She says, I just feel so much better. She goes, just to see young kids bring life to her and just the whole thing. So, you know what? I'm just saying, who knows what God has for you today? What does God have for you to do? How about just making some people feeling comfortable and welcome here on our campus? You know, I remember one Jewish guy that was hitchhiking in Europe. He took this big sabbatical. He was actually an atheist, and this guy picked him up who was a Christian. And what he said was the first thing that this guy did, he said, I got in the car, and this guy made me feel as though I was the exalted guest. I thought that was cool. I said, maybe we could do that today. Maybe we could just make this town feel as though they're the exalted guests as we serve them and have a servant attitude. Just to season lives today, a much-needed salt and shining our light through servanthood and just people feeling that way. Let's don't just congregate. And here's the thing, right, TK? We just got done with six weeks of evangelism. I'm going to challenge you a little bit today. Don't just sit in your own little comfortable church cliques, you know? Find somebody and just thank them for coming today. We really appreciate you coming out today and see where God leads it from there. And just, you know, that we appreciate them for coming. To be salt and light means we're going to bring out the best in this place or situation. And also to be salt and light means we work together. Did you get that? It said we're a city on a hill. City is corporate. That's a group. And salt is too. Could you imagine how good is one grain of salt? You won't even know it's in the food. But when you get several grains of salt, it starts to season the food. So all of us together, just kind of a unified army demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That doesn't sound too obnoxious to me. That sounds awesome. That sounds like what people need. That sounds like that would open doors if we really demonstrate those fruits. It's true to be the salt and light means that individually you get involved with people and show them the beauty of Christ, but actually it's only the group that Jesus Christ is talking about here. The church isn't a club. It's a colony. It's a city, a new humanity, a people that can see and demonstrate the lordship of Christ to other people. That means we're not allowed really to only talk to the kinds of people that you're comfortable with. You know what? If we get at the end of this day and we need to be able to say, you know what? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I would have never sat at the table that I sat at. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I never would have just said hello to the people that I said hello to. But I know it's not about me. You know, we had this barbecue now for 18 years, and it was just us serving ourselves and having a good time. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we've got an opportunity today to just serve and be the hands, be the feet, and be the face and the conduits of Jesus' love and compassion and servanthood. And that means that, you know, we're going to have to stretch ourselves a little bit, maybe. Step out a little bit. You know what? In the where it says good deeds, right? That scripture says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. There's actually, I saw in some commentary, there's two Greek words that mean good deeds, two different ones that you could use. One means good in quality. And the other one means beautiful. The one that Jesus uses here is beautiful. I think that we ought to be famous as people that know what we believe and are able to give an answer as to why we believe it, right? Like Peter said, to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. But I think at the same time, there should be something beautiful about us that we're known as some of the most self-sacrificing, generous, gentle, kind, giving human institution in the entire community that people would say, they would actually say, you know what? Thank God for the community church. I don't know what we'd do without them. That's a big, tall order. We're not going to pull that one off. But what's good about it is it's a God-size order, so we're not going to be able to pull it off in our own human ingenuity. He's going to have to give us the grace. He's going to have to give us the ability to do things that are out of our own comfort zone. We want it to be obvious that it's something that is beyond just ourselves, that we've been lit and we've been seasoned by Christ. So today, as the saying goes, we're not just going to church today. We have an opportunity to be the church. So that's what we're going to do. It's been kind of a crazy week. I don't know if you know, about 14 people got slammed with some virus that was in our church last week. It's unbelievable. And then I got it on Friday, and I'm just kind of like dealing with it, kind of getting out of it now. And, you know, I don't like to over-spiritualize things, but it is kind of funny, you know. It's like one of our greatest opportunities, and I don't think I ever remember a viral going through the congregation like this, like 14, 15 people, I'm talking wiped out, you know, wiped out. But we're back up, and I think God wants to do something great. You know, I think the enemy has no problem if we just remain our own little secluded study groups. But when we want to get out and start demonstrating who he is, he gets a little nervous. So let me just pray for us, and we'll see what God does today and what kind of opportunities he gives us.